So we're outside the four courts here. The Rossport Five are inside at the moment for their retry. We're here with some of the Rossport Solidarity Camp crew. So can you just give us an update of how things are now in Rossport, seeing as the summer's gone and it's getting colder?
Well, seeing as the conditions and the land on which we were camping have gotten really bad due to the foul weather conditions in Ireland, we've moved into a house, the few of us that are remaining in the area for the winter, and the house is basically fulfilling the same function as the camp in that we're having people come and stay, come and get to know the area, get to meet the people and familiarise themselves with the issues. And we'll be working from there over the winter to build up for a bigger camp next spring, if it looks like Shell are going to push ahead and try and get this pipeline and terminal built regardless of what people want. And it seems to be the wishes of the people there that if that happens, that they do want a strong camp presence there. So we will be working towards a big camp for next spring.
And how many people are in the house at the moment?
There's about five or six of us there at the minute.
Okay, and it's still working the same way, like the group meetings in the evening and consensus and working, taking a mandate from the families?
Yeah, it's business as usual, just without the soggy feet, really.
Right. And so the actual camp, like there was a lot of lovely structures were put up, a lot of time put into building up that camp. Was that all taken down and stored?
Yeah, all the structures have been taken down and stored. The us by the descent people. We had to do some repairs on that. It got quite beaten with some of the storms and that we had, but basically been taken down and stored in readiness for next spring.
And what was when the men came home and they got back to the camp and to the crew back there, what was that like?
It was fantastic. I was actually at Ballinaboy at the terminal site when the news came out over the radio that that they were going to be released, and it was just amazing. People were just over the moon. It was a great feeling. When they actually came back then, it was just fantastic. It was just like, I think it gave the campaign a real sort of second wind, you know. People felt like they'd got at least as far as they had.
Was there anyone dancing on the streets outside the pub?
Oh, there was plenty of mad celebrations. Yeah.
And in terms then of, I suppose, the kind of, let's say, the activist methods being used, like have the families from the campaign, have the families and through yourselves coming up and setting up camp, like, has there been a whole lot of discussion and exploration into different ways of attempting to protest or to stop, like, these, you know, killing proposals?
Yeah. Well, we have had our own meetings and discussions with the families and with the local people about it, but I think people pretty much kind of take things one step at a time, you know, because I think we found over the summer that things kind of tend to change quite quickly. At least that's how people feel, and the local community, the local Shell to Sea in Erris, has its own meetings which camp members attend as well, and so that's kind of where the decisions that are made is regarding access to the site, generally how we deal with the pickets outside of the site.
What about the actual compound? Has there been any changes there?
Well, from the looks of it, when we were down in Rossport yesterday, it looks like they're actually taking down the compound in Rossport, which is a shame. I'm really going to miss that place. I think I'm going to be seeing it in my dreams for a few years anyway. As regards the terminal in Ballinaboy, well, there has been, the Shell workers have been allowed access to that in the past while in order to do this pipe cutting work that they were ordered to do, which now we hear is going to be stopped. I can't really
But overall, like, everybody must be very happy with the way things have moved.
I think everyone is very happy with the fact that the Rossport 5 got this kind of brief chance to kind of touch base again and come back to Rossport and see their family.
Which must be a huge relief for both the men and the families.
Yeah, I think it definitely has been.
Was it nearly 100 days or something they're in?
Yeah, it was. It was 94, I think, days. Yeah, it's really a long time for those people. I mean, you know, there's, like, some of those men wouldn't really, they wouldn't really have travelled much, you know, at all in the past. It's a long time to be away from your home and your family, you know.
Yeah. And in terms of the, like, just here at the moment, this is the first day back in, is it? Or what exactly is going on in the courts at the moment?
Well, it's this is where they're gonna have to decide whether or not there's going to be some kind of punishment levelled on them over the whole contempt of court business. Okay. Whether they're going to be facing maybe a prison sentence, maybe a fine, something like that. But I think we've heard in the past few minutes that it's actually been deferred now for 2 weeks.
Okay. So we're expecting to come out of the court now, really?
I think so, yeah. I don't know if that's been confirmed that it's deferred or not, but that's what we've heard. So.
Okay. But I suppose, like, one very strong thing, I suppose, that this has done is it's kind of mobilised the country. Like, it's probably the biggest, the country's probably done this most, this campaign, like, the biggest thing since this was probably the war, when the war in Iraq started. And I think it's really highlighted the fact of little, our different communities around the country that are being pushed around.
Yeah.
But then from that, like, what happened with the grassroots meeting, like, different groups meeting up, building networks, building solidarity, issues of how best to campaign, how to take positive direct action. You know, like, it has really sparked and mobilised a lot of groups around the country.
Well, I'd like to think so, and definitely from what I've been hearing back from anyone I've talked to who would be involved in other campaigns, it does seem to be the whole Rossport 5 and Shell to Sea campaign does seem to be something of a talking point, and I certainly hope it has been an inspiration. I know I certainly find the people very inspiring, the men who are involved in this, their families and the local campaigners, because I mean they've been campaigning for 5 years before any of us happened along, and they really are amazing people. Their determination it really is inspiring.
And in terms then of, like, the, you know, just dropping everything in life and going up to a real windy, desolate part of the world and just helping set up a camp there, like, it must take a lot of effort and, you know, a lot of strains in life to actually to do that.
Well, I suppose there would be drier ways to spend your time, but on the whole, I have to say it hasn't been that much of a struggle when you think, basically, that, you know, if as long as we were wanted there, as long as we feel that we can be making a contribution, I think we're all very happy to be there. And
with that, there's still, like, the same level of food coming in and people knocking up and just meeting up for cups of tea and, you know, saying thanks very much, lads.
Yeah, we're still kind of very much in contact with the local community. We want to be part of the local campaign.
What about the, like, no, I know during the summer, like, people are throwing in turf and they're doing other jobs, and, like, the actual work that the men couldn't be doing because they were in prison, like, was that still being carried on? And then when the men came home, did they actually get a chance to go back out onto their land? And, well, their land, I suppose, it's now officially Shell's land, I think, isn't it?
Well, I suppose by this time of year, a lot of that stuff is already kind of, you know, the time for sort of saving your turf and that is already gone, so.
Yeah. But other little jobs, like, whether it's cutting the grass or weeding or whatever it is, like,
I think most of them actually spent more time running around the country going to meetings and giving speeches and that than they did actually at home, but it just goes to show, I mean, everyone after the initial kind of rush of jubilation hearing that they'd got out, everyone was very very eager that people would understand that that this is only kind of the first rung on the ladder, you know.
Exactly. Because, but it's a start, though.
It certainly is a start. It's a great start.
Yeah.
But actually, Micheál O'Shine, we were writing letters from the camp to sending into the men in prison, and Micheál sent us a really nice letter in reply, and he actually said in that letter to, you know, sort of remind us that, you know, as hard as it was for them and everything being in there, that we all had to remember that the focus of the campaign wasn't just to get them out of prison. The focus of the campaign is get the shell out of Erris.
I see. So we'll be back up to Rossport now tomorrow or whenever this ends in the courts?
Yeah, I'll be going back up there and joining the rest of them. I was the only one that came down today, just there was odd jobs to be done and all sorts, so I came up just on my own on the bus with all the Ballinaboy crew.
So fair play to you and fair play to all the crew who've gone up and made the camp and who are working with all the campaign, I suppose, because it really was lovely to see it, and when it was up in the field and all the structures, but it's so fair play to you.
Well, it'll be back in spring, so and fair play to everyone that came and visited, you know, even for an hour or whatever, just to all the people who came, and just because we all felt it's very important, and that people's sort of perspective on the whole thing often changes a lot when they actually come to Rossport and get a look around, see the actual route, see where they're trying to build this terminal, and talk to the people. I think people really get an insight into it that you can't really get any other way.
Especially when you're walking around and you see that sign in the road saying like you're now entering the kill zone. Yeah. It really puts in perspective, like, because bottom line, if it goes ahead, pop, the lads are dead. That's...
Yeah, I think... Yeah, you become very conscious of that when you see where they're actually planning to put it, and the condition of the land that they're planning to put it in. I think the more you look into this, and the more you look into the project itself, the more just absolutely amazing it is that something like this would be going ahead.
It's scandalous. Like even if it didn't go ahead at the moment, like just seeing like for, you know, like the cuts through the trees, you know, for the proposed pipeline and all that, like it is criminal what's going on, but it's, I think we are winning, and it, you know, we can win this.
Yeah, I think we certainly can win this.
That's the difference, not just fighting just for the sake of fighting, it's fighting because you know you can win.
Yeah, I think this definitely can be won, and I think the people of Erris are that determined, and they have that much to fight for. You know, I don't think they're not going to lie down. You know, just the shell are just going to have to find some other way. That's just the bottom line.
All right, so we better wrap up. So listen, Bob, thanks very much for your time, and best of luck.
Thank you.